God and the Bacon, Egg, and Cheese Sandwich. Back in the summer of 2012, I took a forced hiatus from all things writing and internet related. My husband was struck with a sudden case of acute pancreatitis and was admitted to the hospital Friday, May 30th. On June 2nd, he was moved to a different hospital, which had teams of specialists equipped to take care of the pancreatitis. During our stay, hubby endured a lot of pain and a lot of tests. It seemed there was no end in sight to the problems they were discovering, from gallstones to colon polyps to a stomach ulcer and the possibility of the onset of diabetes. It was a scary and lonely time of trying to be calm and strong for both my husband and my daughter. Although it was easy for me to be thankful to God for all the nurses and doctors, everyone involved in my husband's care, right down to the people who made the nuts and bolts used in the hospital's construction, it was hard to accept the uncertainty of each diagnosis. The surgeons waffled between taking the gallbladder out while we were there, then sending us home, or sending us home and taking it out later. 12 days into his hospital stay, I was at the end of my reserves. I wanted to take my husband home, so we could be together as a family. I was tired of all the tests, tired of being told one thing and then a few hours later being told something completely different. After taking another shower at the hospital and changing into my last set of clean clothes, I sat on the chair in the bathroom, looked at my reflection, and burst into tears. Our insurance is good, but I knew the bills would be piling up. Our finances were just beginning to look good, and now this. Add to that the news that if certain forms weren't turned into my husband's work by day 15, he could lose his job, and life looked pretty bleak. I knew in my head God was taking care of everything, but the facts I was seeing made me worry. I dried my tears and put on my calmest in control expression and went out to move the tray in front of my husband so he could eat breakfast. I made a lame joke about him not going anywhere while I went downstairs to get my breakfast and left with a bright smile pasted on. As soon as the elevator doors closed, I slumped under the weight of worry. How were we going to pay for all of this? When would we get to go home? I watched the numbers count down, and an odd thought struck. I should get a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. It was odd because I never left the hospital, and the cafeteria, as far as I knew, never served bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches like McDonald's does. I shook my head and resigned myself to getting the usual breakfast of biscuits and sausage gravy, scrambled eggs, toast, and bacon strips, with a large glass of cranberry juice. The elevator doors opened, and I trudged down the same short hall I'd traversed at least 3 times a day for the last 12 days. It almost felt like home, we'd been there so long. The worry tagged along, like an unwanted mutt, following me all the way into the cafeteria. I was glad my folks had been so generous, giving me cash to use for meals while we were there, because we'd left everything else at home in the mad dash to get to the hospital. Even so, there was only so much cash, and I had no idea how much longer I'd need it. Maybe you've been in a situation like that. In crisis, overwhelmed and exhausted, with no idea how you'll get through it. There are 3 ways most of us face a crisis. 1, plan and worry until you develop heartburn, which will eventually lead to an ulcer if you don't find another way to a solution. 2, give up, crawl under the covers, and hope it all goes away. And 3, have faith and pray, a lot, until you see the answer to your prayers. I went through each of those phases, and it wasn't a linear process. It changed from day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. In Matthew 6:26-34, Jesus tells us that worrying and hiding from our problems are the least helpful things we can do. See the birds of the sky, that they don't sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of much more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one moment to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today exists, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, won't he much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore don't be anxious, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or with what will we be clothed? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore don't be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Each day's own challenge is sufficient. In this scripture, Jesus tells us we have no reason to be anxious about anything, neither food nor clothing. But how many of us believe that? Our natural fallback is to worry and plan and worry some more, until all that's left is wanting to crawl under our covers and hide like a child from the boogeyman. The problem with doing that, though, is that first we make ourselves sick, and then we live in fear. That's not the life God wants for us. As this scripture clearly says, God doesn't want us to worry until we're downing bottles of antacid or landing in the hospital with a heart attack or stroke. Jesus asks, what good does worrying do for you? If we've done everything we can, what's left? Eventually, we have to either condemn ourselves to stress-related illnesses or let tomorrow take care of itself. I knew there was nothing more I could do, yet worry nipped at my heels as I stepped through the sliding glass doors into the cafeteria. How many more breakfasts could I afford? I grabbed a tray and took my place in line, swallowing the tears once more. I took a deep breath and let it out, then looked up at the menu. Even though I knew exactly what would be there, it hadn't changed in 12 days. Why would it change today? And that's when I saw it. A picture as big as a beach ball of the one thing I wanted, but didn't think I could have. A bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich just like they make at McDonald's. I wanted to laugh and dance around, but I didn't want to scare the hospital staff in line with me. I doubt anyone else would have understood my excitement over a change in the breakfast menu. To me, though, it was more than just a bad-for-your-health, oh-so-tasty sandwich. It was a promise kept. In that one moment, I saw the hand of God reach down and comfort me in the only way that would get my attention. It wasn't just a coincidence. It was the Father's love. Getting rid of the worry isn't a secret formula or something only certain people can do. It's a choice we can actively make, day by day and moment by moment. When worry begins to creep into your thoughts, ask a simple question. Have I done all I can do? If the answer is yes, then tell yourself in no uncertain terms that the outcome is in God's hands, and then turn your thoughts to doing something unrelated, perhaps even reaching out to help someone else in need. If a new idea pops in your head, feel free to try it. It might be God taking care of your need. The main thing is to release yourself from the constant pressure of trying to come up with a solution on your own. God has everything under control and will bring you out of whatever crisis you're in, whether you worry about it or not. I wish I could say I've never worried about anything since then, or that my husband was miraculously cured, but that would be a lie. It took nearly 2 years and several surgical procedures for his body to heal, leaving him with the constant reminder of how precious our health is as he works to keep his diabetes under control. However, it's a lesson I'll never forget, one that we can all continue our efforts to master. Next time you find yourself locked in the cycle of worrying, remember the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and know that God is in control. even to the point of surprising you with your favorite breakfast. If you enjoyed this message, please take a moment to let your friends know on your favorite social media. You can also purchase Messages from One Servant's Heart, Volume 1, from my website, as well as find out how to purchase my latest Bible study, Trust God No Matter What, by going to www.virginiaripple.com and clicking on Nonfiction at the top of the page. God bless, and thank you for listening.